God. I even got a low point going. I had quit studying like I used to. I was so discouraged. And Elder May said, you gotta get in the Word. He kept saying that for about a month. I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to get in the Word. I started again. And I never went back to that, because what I didn't know is God is always moving.
Amen.
When people always are not working, God is.
He had always.
He had a super plan anyway. So people receive revelation. It's based on how they see things.
Repeat that again.
People receive revelation. It's based on how they see things.
Okay, say it again.
It's based on how they see things. And this is why I say the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You got to break through culture when it comes to receiving new vision. Culture don't want you to have it. Just like Daniel was, he wanted the answer to that dream that he had. And he was determined. He had planned not to ever eat anything tasted until he knew that revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And he persisted, but the fight took 3 weeks for him to break through. Now, it's not, God gave it to him the first day. The messenger was sent the first day.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had interference.
The angels had to break through.
And that, you know, I was showing Alicia that this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes right back to what Jesus told Peter. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven.
That's keys to the kingdom. Okay, so binding and loosing, okay?
Once you receive this revelation,
woo,
grace, that's what Peter did.
Will be multiplied.
Who do me and say that I am?
Woo.
You are the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't tell you this. The Father showed you this. Mm-hmm. And on this rock I build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And it's always that way. So
those the keys.
Even when it comes to you receiving new vision, if you're on to something, stay after the Lord about it until you perfectly understand it like he does.
That's good.
Until you perfectly understand it like God does.
Amen.
And stay, this, you'll have to break through to finish receiving the fullness of that revelation.
That's good, Apostle. That's what Paul was praying in the book of Ephesians.
Yeah.
That the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they'll see, they'll know about the hope. He was talking about their spiritual eyes.
Yeah.
Because the natural eyes wide open, but the spiritual eyes were being blocked by the enemy.
And you know, sometimes when you have something and you're clued in, Daniel was clued in when he had the vision, but he didn't have the fullness of it yet. So when he pressed the issue, he kept fasting, he kept expecting, he kept his faith on. During the duration, there's always a duration. When you get the finished product, the fight is over for that. Jesus authored it. He gave you a clue. You press through till you receive the whole picture.
Amen.
That battle is done.
Now Daniel could have stopped.
He brought that knowledge to our realm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the enemy was trying to keep at bay. A long time ago, a lot of things that we do in culture, it started millennia ago. The way that we, even the way we conduct church, is based on what happened a long time ago. We meet usually once or twice a week, which is great. I'm not knocking it. But in Acts, they met every day.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, that was kingdom culture. Yeah. That's kingdom culture is different from just culture.
So what happened, and it was Jesus' custom to go to church. And they went often. The church was always open. People were always there. People that worked different shifts were there. It was in the community. And, you know, they didn't live across town. They lived right there. So it was easier. We got cars now. So it's a lot of reasons it's different, which is God works with. Not knocking that. But I'm just showing how it started. In the dark ages began when the apostles died. Men started lusting after power more than God. So
you're going to say that again now.
Men started lusting after power more than God. And a few systems happened.
So no real true fellowship or relationship.
Well, it was different.
Mm-hmm.
The the kings wanted power over everybody, but they couldn't handle Christians because Christians had kingdom power.
Come
and they
on,
didn't
man.
Understand
Come
it. They didn't see it unless they got saved themselves. And they didn't have, so they felt threatened. When you have revelation and your life is where you lay his hands on people that are getting healed, people start looking at you and the king is left out. That's how he'll feel. That's how Satan would tempt him to feel, mm-hmm. even though the people that are laying hands and blessing people love the king. Mm-hmm. But he don't realize that. The enemy say, hey, they're going to take over. You're going to be dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You better do something. And the enemy mm-hmm. will urge them through their emotions and their fears.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the apostles died, people like Demetrius arose. Not Demetrius, but Diotrephes arose. They wanted power more than God. And they were the wolves of the church. So the Holy Spirit can't operate with an unholy base. For that, God has never done a great move of God unless it was a pure base. A man that loved him from the heart and not Satan's world,
mm-hmm.
not the world system. If a person compromised somewhere, the Lord put it to me boldly, the fear of the Lord. Now, he said two things to Saturday. He's been teaching me some things.
Okay.
Last few months about the Laodicean church.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday, he said sin disconnects a person from life. When people choose to sin, it disconnects them from life.
Amen.
When people choose to sin, it disconnects them from life.
Mm-hmm. It disconnects them from life at that moment, the life mm-hmm. of God.
When I am the way, the truth, and the
life.
That's good.
And that's a fact. So how can the Lord solve this fact? He became, that's why he's our priest, our high priest.
Mm-hmm.
He represents our case to God, asks God to give us mercy so the Holy Spirit can bring the fear of the Lord on us, so we'll repent. And then we move on.
You know, Thurston, this morning as I was reading Acts, mm-hmm. the Lord just walked this to me real big. That's one of the keys to the end times for the church.
Mm-hmm.
This church walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Them two together.
Fear of the
oh
Lord
my God.
And the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That
yeah.
was the first church.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we need our comforter.
Mm-hmm.
And you can live comforted.
But the Holy Spirit is a comforter.
Yeah.
And He will
and
comfort you.
If you
all
receive
that's going
everything
on, because they had a lot going on in their day and time
mm-hmm.
against Jesus.
Yeah. And you can live comforted. And the Lord loves you. He's not concerned about what you did wrong, what you come up with. He's not concerned. He's concerned about redemption.
Yes, amen.
That's how he can help us. Now, he told me another fact. He can say things, make you sit up in bed. He's been dealing with me about his return. His return is imminent. But he tell you things in time to make things clear for people. You know, the first thing was 5 years ago. He said, tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left. I hadn't heard language like that since the 80s. Not like that. And this time it was the Holy Spirit. I sat up in the bed thinking. I said, and the way he said it, I said, Lord, please give us enough time to get this message out. I was surprised to see 2018. I was real surprised to see 2019. I thought for certain I wasn't going to see 2020. But God gave us this has been 5 years. That's a blink of the eye to God. That's nothing.
Repeat again what he said to you.
He said, tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left. Now, he's talking about his people. So this one was the strongest, what he said Saturday morning. He said, when I return, those that are in sin, he's going to leave them where they stand. I said, man, he's serious. He's going to leave them where they stand, but he's going to take his people off earth. And he has to do that because he's not just grace, he's also justice. He cannot let sin in heaven. And he's not going to let sin in heaven.
Okay, he's grace, but he also justice.
He's justice.
Yeah, okay, justice is what put the stripes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So we go to him through Christ. We're united. All your sins forgotten. And you go with him. The revelation that it takes to do a move of God. Before God gave Gideon victory, he had to get rid of his daddy's idols. He mm-hmm. took his two bullocks. One of them he pulled the idol down. And then the other one he offered on the altar that he made. And when the sun rose up, the men of the city saw it. And God did that to cause such a controversy. They wanted to stone him for destroying the idol of Baal that got him in trouble in the first place. The mm-hmm. army surrounded them because of their witchcraft. That's why they were surrounded by enemies. And the enemy's strategy was to starve them to death. Because he had seen them rise up in battle and defeat people. But if they get weak enough, the first he had to poison them with the wrong way, with idolatry. That made them, that destroyed their fences.
That did.
And see, the enemy is not as smart as we think he is. He's mm-hmm. kind of clumsy. He didn't know Job's gate was open till the Lord pointed it out. But see, God couldn't take Job any further till he got rid of the fear. You got to get rid of things that it's not. Things that have no business. Things that can't come from the kingdom of heaven, trash it. If it can't come from heaven, trash it. It's like Alicia said, put that in the junk file. He couldn't take Job any further till Job got rid of his fear. But first he had to expose it to him. See, the Lord, Satan thought that he had this thing figured out. Mm-hmm. He was looking for trouble. He was looking for somebody to be another Nimrod, basically. To curse God to his face and have the same defiance that Nimrod had. Mm-hmm. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? God knew what he knew what he was doing. He had the plan all along. Now, Satan was so focused on what he was trying to get Job to do, his eyes was on making Job into another Nimrod. Because once he get him mad enough, he's already a man of, he's already industrious. He was one of the richest men of his time. So, if I can turn him, I can get another Nimrod. And people will look to a person like that. Mm-hmm. And so his mind is on that. Well, Job didn't know what was going on, but Job had a root of faith. He was rooted in the Word. He didn't understand nothing, and his friends were definitely sure mm-hmm. that they needed to help him go back to God. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the problem. He didn't know what the problem was, even though he said, what I greatly feared has come upon me. He had the fear on him. And God couldn't take him any further till that was dealt with. So, you know the story of Job. From the book of Job, we have a wealth of knowledge. We have knowledge. We have counsel. Even though it didn't apply to Job, those statements that both of them, all four of them made, then five with Elihu. Job is three friends. Then Elihu came last. Elihu had knowledge, counsel, and wisdom. The others, they were trying to apply their understanding against Job. The enemy was trying to use their statements to discourage Job. Job was trying to expose that he wasn't like that. But through their dialogue, we still get knowledge, counsel, wisdom, understanding, and the fear of the Lord and power. We get it all through the dialogue. The dialogue that they did together applies to life. It's just as good as the Proverbs. They even exposed the need for a mediator. You know, and he also exposed that one of a thousand. And I believe Solomon got it from Job. So the Lord got what was in their heart into this realm. Satan, his efforts didn't work because that Old Testament man of covenant kept his eye, he was rooted in the Word. And then Elihu came and built everybody back up so that they could hear the Lord when he spoke out of the whirlwind. They had come to a point of collapse. They couldn't even talk anymore. Then Elihu came and gave them wisdom. And that gave them enough word. Now, I say that because when the Lord taught me to read chapters instead of scriptures, then I could embrace what the Holy Spirit was saying. And it helped me to break through the culture that I didn't see. I couldn't see a problem. See, when the things that the Lord gave me, I couldn't see what he saw. I didn't have revelation for that yet. All I had was the words that he gave me. And you just follow God in this and it'll work. But over time, I saw the reluctance. And I started asking the Lord about why are people reluctant. They couldn't see what's next. They didn't. If you don't receive revelation, you can't know about it. Either you receive it or you reject it. But if you receive it, and if you don't finish learning about it, it'll never be a thing for you. It'll never be knowledge for you. It'll never become knowledge. It'll never become counsel. It'll never become wisdom. You'll never understand it. You'll never walk in it. And you can't have the fear of the Lord about it. So when you receive, I remember the one thing gave me a clue. I was in the Lord's presence. And I've talked about this before, but I said, Lord, I want to live in your presence, whether I'm at school or at work, just like I am in this prayer room. And that the church we had was, it used to be a Presbyterian church. It had a beautiful, we used it for a prayer room. It was probably an office. I mean, it was about as almost big as this section right here. It had pretty red carpet in it. We kept it clean. And people would go in there and pray, you know. I would get off work, go to church early and pray in that prayer room. And one day I was in the Lord's presence. And he gave me that he gave me that clue. It was just like a candle burning, you know. Mm-hmm. I was excited when I left. I said, I'm gonna learn to live in God's presence, just like in this prayer room. Mm-hmm. So the first person I told was Elder Lewis. Now Elder Lewis is a great man of God. He left a good job, came down here and started a church. And he was making good money at the factory. He did just like Pastor Jim. You know, he was that caliber type person. But he said, well, he tried to protect me, you know. I got three older sisters. My younger sister's 7 years older than me. So they always felt like they had to protect me from something. You know. Every morning I said, I got to get away from them sisters of mine. And my mama. They gonna stir my mama up. I'd be in the house doing lesson all day. I would wait till my mama go downstairs to wash clothes. And I'd get up, brush my teeth, wash my face, and grab something to eat. And I would roll my motorcycle down the street and crank it up, and they wouldn't see me till lunchtime. I did this every day. I had to get away from it. So I was used to protecting what I was gonna do. And he said, well, you know, you go on in the Lord's presence, you go on the mountaintop, but you got to come back down to the valley. He meant well. I understand. I'm not knocking him at all. He did what most people would do. And if I thought like him, I'd have done it. But I had a clue. If I didn't have that clue from the Holy Spirit, I would have believed him 100%. But I said, no, I realized that I got to protect this revelation. I'm going to see it through. So I said, yeah, I see that. And as I walked away, I said, this is right. I hid it from him. I never mentioned it again, never mentioned it to nobody. I said, I'm going to learn this. And I kept it a secret. That gave me the knowledge I needed. I got to keep this a secret until I learn it. And it took longer for me to learn to do that, for that ember to become a torch. A small flame, a candle of revelation, can become a torch that can't be put out in the rain.
Ooh, that's powerful.
You know, we use torches to cut metal. You can run water on that. That ain't going nowhere. It'll cut metal. They got torches that cut metal underwater. So... David know about that. And Charles, they can go under there and cut metal under the ocean, as cold as that water is. I don't know how they light it, but they can do it. So,
when
Revelation, you know, you have to protect it until you get the rest of it. Mm. There are many times I had to do that. So, and I don't, you know, if people receive the thing about the since the time is so close. Whatever God gives you, it's going to be very important. Things are going to move fast now. When I met with the band 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I said, stay in God's presence because you're going to see miracles. Everything's going to move fast. Don't think that it's going to be like it was. The Lord is going to return imminently. So in order to arrest people's attention so that he can save their life, he's going to do great miracles.
Yes.
And this is the time we don't have the luxury of allowing revelation to fade away. You got to receive it and let it become a torch in your life. That's where your authority comes from here, from believing on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Your ability to receive revelation comes from here. You have the authority to decree things. When we see evil news on a child being abducted, I'm glad they got that thing, you know, when the Amber Alert comes up. If a child gets abducted, start arresting the enemy. Start rebuking the enemy. You can't kill that child. That's the first thing I say. You can't kill them and you can't hurt them. You can't rape them. And then I dispatch angels to surround that child and bring it back home. So these are the kind of things you're going to have to do. You have the authority to do it. And whatever else God gives you, you have to protect. Sometimes you have to hide the revelation until the Lord give it to you firmly. Because back to culture, in the Dark Ages, a lot of people couldn't read. Only rich people and men. Rich men could read, but the average person couldn't read. Unless their parents taught them. If the parents couldn't read, then they didn't have a school set up like we have. The parents taught you what you needed to know. You know, so the people would go to the Catholic Church, and the priest would give them and he used a Latin Bible and interpreted it for their language. So we still have a lot of our culture is shaped from what happened a long time ago. But now, Job said, your sons and daughters can prophesy. Revelation can flow to you personally. That messes Satan's works up. When he saw the Holy Spirit given, Satan like, I got to stop this. He couldn't do it. All through Acts, he was trying to stop it, and the move of God got greater and greater. The reason he couldn't stop it is because of the core group. The apostles were steadfast and unmovable, and they always abounded in the things of God.
And what did it say? And they said they had church daily, and mm-hmm. they stayed in the apostle creed and things that the apostle
mm-hmm.
had put out there, not their own.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't bring in their own knowledge, but they stayed with what the apostles had put as a creed.
Yeah. And they were steadfast and unmoved, but they lived in prayer. They kept going in the Lord's presence, receiving revelation. They didn't just go do a work. God sanctioned that work.
They were full of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And unsanctioned work can't grow right.
Mm.
A sanctioned work will grow easily. You just have to not get into idolatry.
We at 10:29.
Okay.
We're gonna have to cut off. But I want to talk about that presence again. Mm-hmm. Let's see. That pastor didn't understand what the presence of God was. He thought it was just all in the mountaintop. But we have to practice the presence of God.
Yeah.
See, God is always present, but we're not always in his presence.
Yeah.
Our minds are out and things that are happening in the world. We're not in his presence.
Yeah.
He's present there. He don't never leave us nor forsake us.
He was one of
them. We're not always in
his
presence.
Yeah.
And there was a man, so many years ago, practiced the presence of God. Whatever he did, even cooking, even his job, he practiced the presence of God.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we have to do, is practice the presence of
God. Now, I learned to go in God's presence mainly because of him and Mom Powell.
Mm-hmm.
Mom Powell said, she gave me the vision I needed. He was doing it. And he would go, I learned to go in God's presence from him and Greg Hoser. Greg Hoser was my age, but he could sing. He was anointed. And Greg learned it from him. Well, I went in his presence one time that day and got a clue that nobody ever had before. Or they, you know, I just saw it. I asked the Lord to help me bring it, and it worked. You know, okay.
This is good, Apostle, but it's 10:30. They gonna get me over here too late.
I'm glad we have
this. This is 10:30, but it is good.
I want us to do this every week.
It's powerful.
I love it.
What David started it.
Man. Mm-hmm. And Pastor gonna finish it. I tell people
so
all the time.
You're gonna have to dismiss us.
All right.
One thing before you dismiss. I'm a little vague, and ever since you laid hands on me, I've been learning a lot. And one thing over the last, I was on vacation, and boy, howdy, was I messing up big time. Okay, but when I came back home and I got back to where I was before I left, I realized one thing. And this one thing, for me, is so powerful. It's the choices that I make.
Yes.
Like you were just saying, yeah, we got to practice it. Mm-hmm. But if we don't make that choice.
Got to make that choice.
Well, we can be in a routine, the way you're doing it, and all you're thinking that the routine is going to get you there. Come to church, worship leader, blah, blah, blah.
Nah.
But if rightly is not inwardly in his heart, in his spirit, making the choice to do what thus says the Lord, what Rodney is doing is mounting up a whole lot of nothing. Because the minute that temptation comes, I'm off. Because I don't have the power to work it out.
I call that just being Rodney. There's a spiritual Rodney, a higher up Rodney, and there's a just being Rodney.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you get back to just being Rodney is you start neglecting to pray in the Spirit.
Hello!
You start neglecting the Word. You start neglecting obedience. And I don't like being just Mary. Neither do you like being Rodney.
When I was reading Kenneth Hagin, the book I'm reading now, and he says, you know, a lot of times, and I was guilty of this, he said, a lot of times our spirit will speak to us, and we will ignore it, and we will follow our senses.
Mm-hmm.
And because your senses is the strongest at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that he said that we follow the senses versus the spirit is because we inwardly don't trust the spirit, because we think that that spirit is what the senses is saying. And we forget, I forgot. Until I read it, I honestly haven't got it. There's a new spirit in me.
Amen.
I've been born again. You know, God's spirit is in me. And so what I should be trusting, I'm saying, nah. And what I shouldn't be trusting, culture, you know, growing up thinking the wrong thing, that's what I'm relying on. And it's, boy, I'm fighting him, but I mean, you know, and I will not lose.
That's right.
And that's the soul problem, renewing the mind. You got to constantly renew that mind so it can work with the spirit.
Yes.
It's a mind issue. Your mind had not been renewed to who you are and what you have in you.
Right.
That constantly has to be present. It's 10:34. Y'all not going to get me in any trouble.
Brother Charles, go ahead and pray us out.
Father, we just thank you and
thank you,
praise you for all that was heard here today, all that was spoken. We ask that you continue to bless this class. Yes, bring forth your word in a mighty way each and every time these speakers stand up here, God. We just praise you and worship you and bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.